So we are seeing the sixth shloka of the seventh chapter. In this shloka, Krishna says that this para and apara prakriti, which we discussed in detail during the last webinar, together alone is the srishti, sthiti and laya karana of the whole universe. This para prakriti and apara prakriti together. This alone normally is pointed out as Brahman and Maya together, or Purusha and Prakriti by various other names, similar names. And if you really come to Puranic topics, the very same thing they call as either as Shiva, Parvati, Mahavishnu and Mahalakshmi, Brahma, Saraswati. All these are different names to denote the same concept. So we have the male and female principle representing the Purusha and Prakriti. And this pattern alone is maintained in the worldly creation. Anything to be created requires the male and female principle, because the original itself, there are two principles, Brahman and Maya. In fact, Krishna himself, he will tell us in the 14th chapter when we see them later, that the Lord is Brahman, is like the father, and Maya is comparable to mother. He says, Yetat yonini sarvani bhutani, in this shloka. All beings have their material cause as these two prakritis only. The word yonihi, yetat yonini, yonihi, refers to the material cause. As we said earlier, the upadana karanam and nimitta karanams. The intelligence cause also is Ishvara alone, but that is not highlighted here. So Krishna refers to the material cause only here. So sarvani bhutani, all beings and things also, the entire characharam jagat has its material cause in these two prakritis, para prakriti and apara prakriti. Iti upadharaya, thus may you ascertain in your mind, O Arjuna. And why Krishna says this? He says, ascertain in your mind, because this is the most important point on which alone all the later ideas are built up. So this is like the foundation on which all the later ideas of the section, including Vishwarupa Darshanam, Vibhuti Yoga, they are all built up. For example, when you go to the 10th chapter, the Lord will say, I am the intelligence in the intelligent people. I am the strength in the strong men. I am glory in any person. I alone am. So there Krishna will not give the logic. How can he say he alone is all glories in everyone? Even though he doesn't give the logic to us. The logic he will not give, he takes for granted that this particular rule that we will remember. And what is the rule? Bhagavan is the material cause, and the material cause is not different from the effect. Material cause, the karanam, is not different from the effect, the karyam. So any glory in the effect belongs to the material cause. That is the law on which the whole Madhyama Shatka, the middle portion of Bhagavad Gita, is based. Not only the whole Madhyama Shatka is based, in fact the whole Indian culture and tradition is based on this central teaching alone. Anything glorious is worshipped in our tradition. If a river is blessing a country and a society and people, we glorify the river and worship. And so are mountains, even coconut trees. In fact, everything in nature, they are all glorified and worshipped by us. It's a very unique aspect of our religion, which is not there in any other religion. They all worship the Lord as someone beyond the world. That's what all other religions do. None of them have the idea of worshipping everything in this creation. They look down upon us, also saying that we are like snake worshippers, elephant worshippers, rat worshippers, monkey worshippers, cow worshippers. They think it is a lowly concept. All these will become clear only when we understand this basic theme. We worship everything because any glory of any creation is the glory of its material cause, which happens to be the Lord alone. Because the rat also is a mixture of Chaitanya Tattvam, which belongs to the para prakriti. The rat's body is a modification of Apara Prakriti, which is an amsham of the Lord alone. So both the Indian culture and all the teachings are based on this one principle, and therefore, Arjuna, do not forget this line. If you forget this, then the rest of the chapters will not become clear to you at all. So what is to be remembered? Lord is the material cause of the universe, and so any glory belonging to the universe, namely the effect, will belong to the Lord only, the material cause. So karyasya vibhutihi upadharana upadhana karanasya bhavati. So the glories of the effect will always belong to the material cause. And so he says, upadharaya. Upadharaya means ascertain in your mind. So bhutani etat yonini. I am the material cause of all beings, bhutani. So what is the definition of material cause again? Even though we have gone through this earlier, we can just refresh. Material cause is defined as srishti, sthiti, laya, karanam. That from which an effect originates, that by which the effect is sustained, and that by which the effect resolves back is called material cause. So that from which, for example, the ornament comes, by which the ornament is sustained, and into which the ornament finally resolves back, the gold, that is the material cause. Yatova imani bhutani jayante, yena jatani jivanti, yat prayanti, abhisham vishanti, tadeva. That's what Upanishad said. So we can apply this to any material cause, whereas the intelligence cause, the nimitta karanam, cause is defined as the srishti matra karanam. The intelligent cause is called only srishti matra karanam. It is responsible only for creation. It does not sustain, it does not resolve also. So intelligent cause is not responsible for either sustenance or for resolution. Actually, we can find it very easily that the ornaments are created by the goldsmith. But can we say that they are sustained by the goldsmith? If they are, they must be always with the goldsmith alone. And the problem is, whenever we buy, we have to buy goldsmith also along with that, if he has to sustain the gold, the ornament. We don't do that. And again, when we melt it also, it need not again go back to the goldsmith. Similarly, here also, in terms of pot also, we can take any number of examples. The pot also, when the pot is broken, we cannot say it is resolved into the potter, who is the intelligent cause. It gets resolved into the clay only, to the earth. So, material cause is srishti, sthiti, laya karanam, but the intelligent cause is srishti matra karanam. It is not srishti, sthiti, laya karanam, it is only srishti matra karanam. And so Krishna says, since I am the material cause, aham krishnasya jagataha prabhavaha. I am the source of this entire creation, prabhavaha. Srishti karanam, that means srishti karanam. And not only that, pralayaha. And I am the place of resolution, pralayaha, of the entire creation also. So I am the laya karanam also. So I am the srishti karanam, sthiti karanam, and laya karanam, prabhavaha. Refers to Srishti Karanam, and Pralayaha refers to Laya Karanam, which means the world is born out of me, and the world will resolve unto me only. It is something like the dream world, which comes out of me and continues for some time because of me alone. And ultimately, when I wake up, the whole dream world with sun, moon, stars, people, animals, plants, planes, whatever it is, they all, charam and acharam, they all resolve back into me, the waker. In the same way, from me, the Bhagavan alone, the whole creation has come. And unto me alone, the whole creation will go back. And here Krishna is referring to srishti and laya only. We will have to supply sthiti also here. Even though he does not explicitly state that here, we have to supply. So, aham pralayaha prabhavaha. He says, which refers to srishti and laya karanam, we have to supply sthiti karanancha ahameva. So in short, I am the srishti, sthiti, laya karanam of the universe. Why? Because I am the material cause. And here Krishna says, Krishnasya jagataha, of the entire universe. That means there is no exception at all. We should not ask whether it is only humans, all humans alone, or all trees, plants, kingdom alone. It includes everything, including all galaxies, solar system, space, and time. All those things also. Yasya brahmacha kshatrancha ube bhavata odanaha mrityur yasya upasechanam. In Katha Upanishad, the Lord says, when I swallow, not only I swallow people, I swallow the very time principle itself. That's what the Lord says. So everything is swallowed by time. Time eats up everything. Kalaha. Aging is caused by time. The very time itself is swallowed by the Lord. Space swallows everything. The space itself is swallowed by the Lord. Time and space, they are all resolved into the Lord. That is why he says, Krishnasya. Which includes even Desha and Kala. Desha is space, Kala time. So actually the Lord is the one ultimately resolves everything. Shloka 7. Matta parataram nanyate kinjidasti dhananjaya mayi sarvamidam protam sutre mani ganayiva. So Krishna is systematically developing the topic of Ishvara here. First, he gave the definition of Ishvara, which is Jagat Karanam. Or to be precise in this context, he is Jagat Upadana Karanam, the material cause. Etat Yonini Bhutani. That's what we saw in the previous shloka. And then he extended the same point a little bit. He himself is the cause out of which alone the world comes, by which alone the world is sustained, and unto which alone the world resolves back. Normally, whenever we say anything is the cause of something, we find that cause itself has got another cause. I am caused by my parents. And everyone knows that my parents themselves are caused by their parents. And their parents are caused by their parents and so on. Generally, we see that every cause has got its cause. And so what we will think generally, naturally? If everything has got Ishvara as the Karanam, then the question will be, who is the cause for Ishvara? Because our intellect cannot accept a thing without a cause, without any exception. That is why those who go by merely rationalism cannot accept God. Bertrand Russell, there used to be a Western philosopher, Bertrand Russell says that if you say there is God, that cannot be ultimate because that God also must have another cause. So since the intellectual question will normally arise in everyone, Krishna is removing that doubt by saying that there is no other cause superior to me. Mattaha anyate parataram na asti. There is nothing else which is superior cause to me. And that is why Bhagavan is defined as uncaused cause, causeless cause, the fatherless father, kind of. So parataram, parataram means what? Karanantaram, another cause other than me is not there. O Arjuna, I am the moola karanam, I am the final cause. Because all others are intermediary causes only. Everything else is cause with respect to its effect. But an effect with respect to its cause, that father is the effect of his father, but the cause for his son. But Bhagavan is cause only, karanam evam naiva karyam, not an effect at all. Other things are karanam and karyam. Because of this reason alone, we call Bhagavan as anadi, beginningless. And we say God is anadi, we must understand him in this fashion. And not as Krishna or Rama or Shiva or Ganesha or any of those deities. So Maya Sagitam Brahma is the concept of Bhagavan. The Brahman Maya coupled, as we mentioned earlier. This Bhagavan is all. So actually Purusha Suktam says, Sahasra Sirisha Purushaha Sahasraksha Sahasrapat. Not that we are going to see the Lord one day with thousands of legs and eyes. All eyes, heads, legs are all Lord only, Lord's only. The vision must completely change. That is the idea here. So, mattaha parataram na anyat kinchit asti. There is nothing which is a superior cause to me, O Dhananjaya. Not only that, mayi sarvam idam protham. Everything in this world is interwoven in me alone. Interwoven in me means sustained by me. Just as a cloth, it is interwoven in the threads. What does it mean actually? The threads are sustaining the cloth. Otham and protham is the idiom usage actually. That means there are no cloth other than the thread. Cloths are sustained by the very thread. Similarly, actually in English also we have this warp and the woof. That's an idiom. Warp and the woof. Every cloth has the threads woven in two directions. One is called the warp and the other is called the woof. I am the warp and woof of all the creations. Minus me, the creation cannot exist at all. That's what the Lord says. Here the Lord is pointed out as the Sthiti Karana. So in the previous shloka, we saw the Lord as both the Srishti and Laya Karanam. And in this shloka, the Lord is pointed out as the Sthiti Karanam, which was omitted earlier. So in the previous shloka, the other two only were mentioned. So for this, the Lord is giving an example. Sutre Manigana Iva. Just as the series of beads, sutre, they are threaded in a thread, held together in a thread. Just as the beads are held together in a thread, are sustained in the thread in the form of a garland, mala. Actually, this is a very beautiful example because a garland can survive as a garland only when the thread is there to support it, to hold the beads together. Even though mala consists of beads only, they are together because of the thread. And the greater the beauty, and the example, the beauty of the example is, you only see the mala, the beads. Even though the thread plays the important role of sustaining the mala, the thread is invisible. This is called antaryami. Antare gatva, going through the inside. Antare gatva yamayati, that which controls, sustains. So it's called antaryami. We don't see it, but without it, the mala is not there, without the thread. So we may then argue, there is no thread. Why? Because I don't see it. Because we don't see the thread, we see only the beads, we may argue there is no thread at all. It is foolishness. How can the beads be together without the thread? Similarly, some rationalist argues that the whole world is kept together by itself. People might argue the planet systems are all orderly by themselves. If one says, it is like arguing that the beads are together by themselves. So I am not seeing is not an argument to prove something's non-existence. It can be always there as antaryami, just as the thread is unseen but it is present. Similarly, the Lord is present as antaryami, keeping the whole creations together. How many planets are moving? Suppose there is a collision. We have seen plane collision, you know, so many other collisions, so many gadgets, all those things. There are, for example, two planes. Just, you know, the specks compared to the entire sky, these planes are all small specks, not even worthy of any size. They are all controlled by all intelligent beings. Even they collide together. Actually, ships collide together. Imagine massive planets like Jupiter, Saturn, etc. colliding together. All moving constantly for billions of years. But still now, there was no accident because they collided with each other. There need not be an accident even. If any one of them comes closer than where they are now, the very gravitational pull itself can destroy all of us completely. But they are all so marvelously functioning. And we claim that they are all naturally functioning. This intelligent person is not able to control these small things, all of us, but say that they are all naturally functioning. Is it not ridiculous? That's what they ask. There is an antaryami, the unseen Lord, who is the one who holds this entire Srishti together. And that is why one of the names of the Lord is Sutratma, one like a thread who pervades the creation and holds it together, Sutratma. So, Sutravat Jagat Karayati Iti Sutram or Sutratma.
which means the very existence of the world is dependent on me. The very essence of the world is nothing but myself. And now on what he wants to do is to bring this attitude in the mind of the student, that whenever he looks at anything in creation, he should remember that the very content, the essence, is nothing but the Lord alone. So the Lord Krishna wants to impress upon the student to have only this vision all the time. So first it is the intellectual derivation, then on it is the actual vision. Up to this he has pointed out that Ishvara is the essence of creation. Now on he is bringing down to day-to-day life, how we should remember the Lord as the essence of everything that we experience. So the Lord should not be a mere puja room or temple deity or meditation affair, but it must be every moment's experience in real life. How? That is being said actually in the next sloka, sloka number 8.
Rasohamapsu Kaunteya Prabhasmishashi Surya Yoho Pranavas Sarva Vedesho Shabdakhe Paurusham Rushno.
So Krishna says that everything we regularly contact, we transact with, the very essence of all those is nothing but myself. What are those? O Kaunteya, Aham Apsu Rasaha Asmi. Api means water. We know the importance of water, we all know that. When we are really thirsty, nothing can replace water. You can take soft drink, you can take ice cream, you can take butter, buttermilk, all those things, milk. But unless real water, cold water is there, our thirst cannot be quenched completely at all. Because it is the guna of water. It has got the peculiar nature which is known as rasaha. That very rasa, the essential taste of waters, which makes it different from all other liquids in the world, that essential rasam of the water is nothing but myself alone. And now one we should remember, every time Krishna enumerates one of them, what he means is what? Next time when I am really thirsty and drink water, I get the fulfillment of removing the thirst. That essence is nothing but Lord alone. That is how I should visualize. That is, when I drink water, I experience the very Lord alone through the water. The water name and form is only superficial. But the very essence by which I get the satisfaction, tripti, the fulfillment, this ananda, that is nothing but the essence of the Lord. So this is the experience of the Lord that Krishna wants to teach us. So that is the uniqueness of Gita actually. In many other books, they talk about Ishvara as what? As, you know, Ishvara Sakshatkara in a particular form. For example, which alone everybody knows, you know, you have to chant a particular mantra, you know, Rama Nama Japa or whatever it is. And one day you will get the vision of Rama. As I mentioned in some other context, you know, there are so many mantras recited so many times. Gayatri Purascharanam. You recite Gayatri mantra so many times, so many crores of times. Then the Aradhya Devata, namely Gayatri or Sandhya Devi, is supposed to walk in front of you. So similarly for all other mantras also, when it is recited so many times with total concentration and total meditation, that Upasya Devata is supposed to walk in front of you, and that is one type of Ishvara Darshana. Similarly, one can keep crying for Krishna. One day you can get Krishna Darshanam also with Tivra Bhakti. Person so much engrossed in bhakti towards Krishna, he might get even Krishna Darshanam. They are all Ishvara Darshanam of a particular form at a particular time. But in the Gita, we are interested in such an Ishvara Darshanam. It is not a new vision of a new Lord that we want. In Gita, people may ask, how can you see God? And immediately, what do we think? That our aim is to see God one day standing in front, either as Vishnu or Shiva or Mahaganapati. But in Gita, what is taught here is, it is not to see the Lord in a particular form, but learning to see the Lord in every form or every particular form, converting the very vision of the world into the vision of the Lord. That is the teaching. And that is called true Ishvara Darshanam. and therefore Krishna states here, he starts from water. Krishna takes the example of water. O Arjuna, when you drink water, you remember that you are directly in contact with the Lord alone, who is the very rasam of waters. Prabha asmi shashi surya yoho. The very effulgence, the brilliance in the sun and moon, which is the very essence of the sun and moon, is nothing but me alone. A brilliance which has been there for millions of years, giving light and energy to all the people. That very effulgence of the sun and moon is nothing but myself. And that is why in the daily prayers, they take the sun for prayers in the Sandhyavandanam and all these rituals. Jaya Sada Savitri Mandala Madhyavarti. Why? The very Gayatri Mantra says, Tat Savitur Varenyam Bargaha. Bargaha, Prabha, the very brilliance that I see is nothing but the manifestation of the Lord alone. Then Pranavaha Sarva Vedeshu. I am the very Omkara, Pranava, in all the Vedic mantras. Then we can ask how this is possible, that in all the Veda mantras I am Pranava as Lord. All the Vedic mantras are nothing but what? Vedic sentences only. Vakyam, Veda Vakyam, each one. And all the Vedic sentences are nothing but Vedic words. And Veda means mantras. Mantras means sentences. And sentences are nothing but pada samuhaha, padam. And what is a padam? A word. A word is nothing but the alphabetic letters arranged in various forms. And what are alphabetic letters? Nothing but sound symbols. And sound symbols become alphabet. Alphabets arranged become words. Words joined together become sentence. Sentences joined together becomes mantra. Mantra joined together becomes Vedas. So in short, Vedas are nothing but alphabetic sound symbols only. And all the sound symbols of the alphabet are represented by three basic sound symbols only. The first one of the alphabetic sound is what? Is taken, which is akara, a. Because all the alphabets begin with the a sound only. Whether it is Tamil language or Hindi language or Malayalam language, Telugu language, doesn't matter. Only in the pronunciation of A, least effort is put. The very basic sound is A. And so A is taken as the first letter. And all other letters are only modifications of the basic sound symbol A. By changing the position of our tongue, our lips, all those things, we create all other sounds. As we have got the gutturals, modification at the throat level. Ka, kha, ga, ga, nga. Modifications at the kanta level. This is called kantyaha. All these kantyas, all those at the throat level. Then cha, cha, ja, ja. Modification of the level of the palate. They are called palatals, thalavyaha. And ta, ta, da, da, na. All of them at the tip of the tongue, on the roof of the palate, lingual. And ta, ta, da, da, na. All the tip of the tongue touching the roof of the teeth, dental. So these are all dental. And finally, the labials where the lips are involved. Pa, pa, bha, bha, ma. So how are alphabets so beautifully arranged, you know, in our system? If you take any other language, even like English alphabet, each letter is from different, originate from different positions because they have never analyzed how the sound comes out. But in our tradition, in the Siksha Shastra or phonetics, they have analyzed from where does each letter come, originate, and what all efforts are there, very thoroughly analyzed. The inner effort, antara prayatnam, outer effort, bahya prayatnam. But whatever be the letters, whether it is guttural, palatal, lingual, dental, labial, basic thing is what? You allow the akara sound to come and then you press the palate, akara becomes chakara. You know, that is how the modifications happen. So after producing the akara sound, you touch the tip of the tongue on the roof of the teeth, it gets converted to takara. But the basic sound is what? Akara only. That is why in the Vedas it is said, akaro vai sarva vak. All the sounds are nothing but akara only. Also at the end of all the sounds, what will be the final sound? The first sound is akara, and at the end of all the sounds, what will be the final sound? If you really analyze, it will be m. Finally, you have to close your mouth. After uttering any word or anything, one has to close the mouth, and when you close your mouth and stop it, the sound will be m alone. That is why for children also, they teach first. Like for example, if you take Tamil, it is amma, it is soft. Appa is hard. So first letter is a, and the last letter is im when you close the mouth. And all other intermediary letters are represented by u. So all the sounds can be represented by a, u, and im. We cannot find any sound going out of these three. And if you join a and u, according to Sanskrit rule of combination, a plus u is o. It is not au, it is o. And m stands there, and so a plus u plus m becomes om. A plus u is o, and adding m, when you close it, becomes om. And that is the reason always Veda Adhyayanam is begun with Omkara. And Veda is ended also, recitation is ended with again Omkara. In Sikshavali, it is said, Omiti Sama Nigayanti. Omkara is the beginning and the end. That's what it says. So that is Omkara is the essence of all sounds, especially the essence of all the Vedas. The essence of Gayatri also is Omkara only. The Omkara is also known by another word, Pranavaha. Pranavaha means the best name of the Lord. Prakarshena Nuyate Brahma Anena Iti Pranavaha. So a word by which the Lord is named in the best manner. Thus Pranavaha is the best name for the Lord. Shiva, Vishnu, Rama also are names of the Lord. But the Lord has got thousands of names. Among all names, the best name of the Lord is Omkara alone. Why do we say like that? Because when Omkara is named, Omkara includes all the sounds within it. And so Omkara includes all the names of the Lord also within it. Whereas Shiva does not include Vishnu's name. Vishnu does not include Shiva's name, Rama's name. Thus all other names are exclusive names. But when you say Om, it refers to the entire alphabet through which it refers to the entire gamut of names of so many Lords. So you have uttered the names of all the Lord when you recite Om. When you just utter Om, all names of Lords are recited. Not even Sahasranama. Sahasranama has got only 1,000 names. Whereas when you recite Om, it is all the names. And so Omkara is Pranavaha, the best name of the Lord. And who is the Lord? The Lord is the one who includes all the forms of the world. And since He has got all forms, He has got all the names also. And if you have to utter all the names, it is impractical. And the only way is to utter Om, which includes all names and all forms of the Lord also. And so Krishna says, I am the Omkara, which is the essence of all the four Vedas, Sarva Vedeshu. Then Shabdaha Ke, in the space, come in space, I am in the form of the very sound, Shabdaha. Because sound is the essential property of the space. Actually, we should remember, when we did Tattva Bodha, we went through these discussions. If you remember, some of you who attended, Akasha has got the unique property of sound. Similarly, Vayu, touch, Agni, form, Apaha, taste, Prithvi, smell. They are all unique properties of the five elements. So Pancha Bhutas have got Pancha Vishesha Gunas. The earth has got all other gunas also. But the unique property is smell, which is not in water, fire, air or Akasha. So I am the very sound, the essence of Akasha, come. The Sanskrit word for Akasha is Kha. And Paurusham Nushu, I am the manliness in every man. Without manliness, one is not a man. So I am the manliness in every man. Shloka number 9. Punyo Gandha Prithivyancha Tejas Chasmi Vibhavasau Jivanam Sarva Bhuteshu Tapas Chasmi Tapasvishu. Whenever we say Gandha, smell, it means both Durgandha and Sugandha. Both the bad smell, bad odor, and good odor. But Krishna says, Durgandha is not mine. It is what you created. But the beautiful smell of earth, that is mine. Punyogandha, the good smell. And not the punya sugandha, fragrance itself. That is myself, the good smell. And Tejas Chasmi Vibhavasav. Vibhavasu means Agni. In the fire, I am the Tejaha, the very heat. And we should remember actually the story of Keno Upanishad, how Agni was arrogant. He thought he can burn anything. And the Lord has to teach him the lesson, how he is so limited. Pointing out that the very burning power in the fire is nothing but myself. I am the very heat in the fire. And Sarva Bhuteshu Jivanam. Jivanam means life. In this context, actually, Shankaracharya takes it as annam. He doesn't take it as life. He takes it as annam. So, Jivana Hetu Bhutam Annam. That is what Shankaracharya says. The very cause of life, namely food. I am the food for all beings. And Tapaschasmi Tapasvishu. In the Tapasvis, in the austere people, I am the very austerity of them. Remember, actually, the main idea is what? That the Lord is the essence of everything. But why Krishna goes on enumeration like this? He could have simply stated, I am everything. He could have just made that statement. Why should he go on saying that he wants to enumerate each time? Because really speaking, this message, enumeration is not at all necessary. Because he could have very easily said in one sentence, I am the essence of everything. Then why should he repeat? Why should Krishna repeat this? The purpose is that, again, we should remember, when we contact everything in the world, in day-to-day transactions, whether it is an ant running or a tree sprouting, plant sprouting, or a flower blooming, a child laughing, whatever may be, when I see everything, I should remember, only then there will be the transformation in my life. If I do not remember this at every moment of my life, I will not transform to the thinking that Lord is everything. Otherwise, it will become another intellectual exercise only. I can say in two words, Lord is everything, but I will continue to be the same person with raga, dvesha, hating people, criticizing others, getting angry. All those things will continue. Even though I may say these two words, Lord is everything. Thus, I know Gita very well, but my character does not change. So what Krishna wants is our very attitude towards creation should change. That's what he wants us to do. So not mere statement that Lord is everything. So when I see a beggar, for example, or a servant, I should have the same impartial look as I see my relative or a friend. And so Krishna's repetition to transform our attitude towards everything in creation, and that is the reason he goes on repeating, trying to enumerate it. And the sign of the change of attitude is what? Raga Dvesha being wiped out. There is no more likes and dislikes. I should not dislike anyone in the world. That should be the attitude. That means Gita has entered into my bloodstream. If I can live that, if I don't hate anyone, if I don't dislike anyone, that means Gita has entered into me. Otherwise, Gita is standing on the head. I prove the Lord is everything. You know, I cannot. Gita is only in my head as lokas or verses, but I do not live it. It has not got into every cell of my body. So if it has entered every cell of me, then I should not dislike anyone, including those who do not like me. What a unique quality. No raga dvesha means I am seeing the world as Lord. That's what it means when there is no raga dvesha. Divinization is the aim of Krishna, and that is why he repeats this relentlessly. And here it is going to be only 5 shlokas. But by the time we come to the 10th chapter, Vibhuti Yoga, the whole chapter will be this idea only. So that by the time we come to the 11th chapter, the Vishwarupa Darshana Yoga, we are completely changed. Our outlook should have completely changed. Ishwara Darshanam is every moment, not in the morning or night alone. Ishwara Darshanam is every moment. So that I can say, every hand is Lord's hand. Every head is Lord's head. Every leg is Lord's head. Sahasra Shirsha Purushaha, then will make sense to me. This is what we should get before we go to the 11th chapter. That is what Krishna is trying to aim in equipping us to have that vision. Krishna is going on rubbing. Whatever you see, including a criminal, is nothing but me and Namarupa only. That is what is going to be repeated in the next shloka also. Shloka 10. Bijam mam sarva bhutanam viddhipartha sanatanam buddhir buddhimatam asmi tejas tejasvi namaham. Bijam mam viddhi. I am the very seed of the entire creation of all beings. Bijam. And what is that bijam? Maya. Maya or avyakta. Prakriti. Generally, the word used is prakriti. I am the very prakriti, the nature, out of which the whole creation has come about. Because again, we should remember that the very Maya is not essentially different from Brahman. If they are different, then there will be duality. And the ultimate truth will not be non-dual. And so Maya also does not exist independent of Brahman or Ishvara. And so the Lord can happily say, I alone am the form of Maya also. The very Sat and Chit of Maya are borrowed from me. So he says, I am the very seed of the entire creation in the form of Maya. Then the question will come, who is the cause of Maya? Everything is caused by Maya, and who is its cause? Maya is anadi, does not have a beginning. So it is not caused by anyone. And so Krishna says, it is sanatanam. Viddhi partha sanatanam. No beginning. I am the eternal seed of creation, does not have a beginning. And again, we have to note a difference here. We say that Maya does not exist independent of Ishvara. But we don't say Maya is caused by Ishvara. We have to understand this clearly. Maya does not exist independent of Ishvara. But we don't say Maya is caused by Ishvara because Maya is anadi. It is beginningless. Ishvara is not the cause of Maya. But Ishvara is the very support of Maya. That is the difference of cause and support. From beginningless time, Maya has been supported by Brahman. So beginningless Brahman supports beginningless Maya. They both don't have cause-effect relationship at all. For Maya, Brahman is not the cause, and Maya is not the effect of Brahman. There is no cause-effect relationship, but they have adhishtana adhyastha relationship. The support and supported relationship, not cause and effect. Then a question might come, actually should not come, it might come. If Maya and Brahman are there beginninglessly, where is then Advaitam? Because there seems to be only Dvaitam. Maya is there, and Brahman is there, there are two. So where is Advaitam then? Again, we should remember, beginningless time Maya is there, we say, but Maya does not exist independent of Brahman. We can count them as only two when both of them are independent. But Maya does not exist independent of Brahman, so Maya cannot be counted as a separate entity. Just like what? Wave cannot be counted in addition to water. You cannot count gold and ornament. They are incidental topics only. Here the Lord says, I am the beginningless eternal seed of creation as Maya. And buddhi, buddhimatam asmi. I am the very intelligence of every intelligent person. Buddhiman is an intelligent person. And buddhi is his intelligence. Minus intelligence, this person has no value at all. Buddhiman minus buddhi is only man. So that essence I am. And tejaha, tejasvinamaham. Among the brilliant or powerful people, I am the very power behind them. So Shaktimatam Janatam Aham Shaktihi Asmi. I am the very Shakti, very energy among the powerful people. Shloka 11. Balam Balavatam Chaham Kamaraga Vivarjitam Dharma Viruddho Bhuteshu Kamosmi Bharatarshabha. So, Balam, Balavatam, Asmi. These are all actually simple shlokas which we can understand very clearly. In these, the big technical points are not there. They are simple facts stated only. It is only our change of attitude that should come by reading this. Meaning of this can be written in half a second actually. But our mind also must change accordingly. So, within half a second, mind won't change. So, it is necessary we spend enough time to understand the intricacies of each one of these shlokas. So, among the strong people, Balavatam, among the strong people, I am the very strength, Balam. Previously, Tejaha was pointed out. Here, Balam is pointed out. So, Tejaha is the inner strength. Here, it is the outer strength. Because the strength itself is classified at various levels in our scriptures. The strength at the Annamaya Kosha, at the Pranamaya Kosha level, the strength of the sense organs, Ojosi, Sahosi, Balamasi, Brajosi, each one has its strength. Thus one is inner strength given in the previous shloka, shloka number 10, and here it is Balam, the outer physical strength in this shloka, shloka 11. But what type of strength it should be? It is said, Kama Raga Vivarjitam, which is free from desire and attachment. Kama and Raga, desire and attachment. Because only that strength will be a blessing to me, to the universe. The one that is free from desire and attachment. But when the strength is polluted by Kama and Raga, then it will be misused. So in our Puranas, we read that all Rakshasas were very strong. All Rakshasas, they did a lot of tapas and gained a lot of strength. Whether it is Ravana, Kumbhakarna, Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, all these Rakshasas, all were powerful. Can we call their strength as divine strength? No, they are all Rakshasic strength only. The divine strength becomes Rakshasic strength when it is polluted by Kama. Ravana's strength became dangerous because he used it to steal Sita. Kama has entered, so his power became Asuric power. A divine power turned into Asuric power because of Kama. Or attachment Raga. A person has some strength or power or position. He misuses it for his own welfare, for his family. Getting some admission here or go abroad, whatever. So power misused because of attachment, it is polluted strength. And so Krishna carefully says here, I am the strength minus Kama and Raga. Kama, Raga, Vivarjitam. And what is the difference between Kama and Raga? Kama, desire, and Raga, attachment. Desire is for a thing we don't have. Whatever we don't have, we develop a desire for it. Desire for something we don't have. Whereas attachment is towards a thing that we have. So, Prapta Vishaye Ragaha. Whatever we already have, attachment towards them, prapta vishaye ragaha, aprapta vishaye kamaha. Whatever we don't have, we have desire to get them, that is kama. So, kama alone later converts to raga. When it is in the shop, for example, you want to buy something, that is kama. You saw something, you liked it, you want to buy it, that is kama. After buying, what do? We want to keep it very carefully, we want to cling on to it. That is attachment, that is raga. So, Kama alone converts to Raga. Both are dangerous. So, Krishna says, I am the strength free from Kama and Raga. And not only that, Aham Bhuteshu Kamaha Asmi. This is interesting. In fact, I am the desire in all humans. He first said, I am free from desire. My Balam strength is like that. But now I am a desire in all humans. Because this is also a very unique mental power known as Ichcha Shakti here. This desire is called Ichcha Shakti. The very capacity to desire is a very unique desire in human beings alone. A cow cannot have any desires in life. They have instinctive needs only. A cow does not have a desire to be in an ashrama giving milk to a rishi. It doesn't have any such desire at all. Ichcha is an unique capacity to only humans. And Krishna says, the very Ichcha Shakti, power of desire, is myself. Then people might wonder that the Kama should be very good, that Kama should be really good, because Ichcha Shakti is good. Kama should be then good. Did not Krishna say earlier, Kama yesha krodha yesha rajoguna samudbhavaha maha shano maha papma. He said that earlier. Why do you then condemn them? Kama and, you know, and Raga. Here Lord says that I am Kama also. We have to understand that carefully. Lord puts an adjective here. And what type of desire? Dharma aviruddha kamaha. Desire for dharma, a desire which is not against dharma. It should be a noble desire. It should not be a selfish desire. Aviruddha. So you can have any number of desires. If it is not against the well-being of the world, no problem. If there is any desire that is against the well-being of the world, of yourself and the world, people around you and all that, then that desire is not desirable. So when I want to possess more, the others are denied. It becomes dharma viruddha kamaha. When a person does not have even minimum dress, I go on having 50 silk saris, it becomes dharma viruddha. So dharma aviruddha kamaha, one can have a noble ambition or aspiration, I am. Actually, it is also healthy to have such a desire. It motivates people to go forward in life. Shloka number 12. Ye chaiva sattvika bhava rajasastama saschaye matta ye veti tan vidhi natvaham teshu temayi. So first Krishna said that Lord is the cause of the universe. Then he says he is the essence of the universe. Ultimately, there is no universe other than the Lord. It is like saying that what? That water is the cause of the wave. Water is the essence of the wave. Finally, you say, there is no wave at all other than water. So here is the second, Krishna is in the second step. Lord is the essence of the universe. So Krishna brings that out very gradually because Arjuna, being a Kshatriya, has his strong ego. And so he may think, what is this Krishna claiming? Everything is as himself. Yeah, that's what Krishna is. I am everything. So Arjuna's ego, actually Kshatriya, he might feel, what is this guy telling? So an egoistic man is one who wants to claim everything as his glory. And so it is very difficult for Arjuna to accept that all glories belong to only the Lord. That is why in the previous shloka, Krishna said, I am the strength in the strong. Arjuna was still very proud person. He's a great warrior, Kshatriya. Because buddhi is there or not, more than as a Kshatriya, Arjuna had tremendous power. In fact, he had the title of Mahabahu. So Arjuna was claiming all the time that he is strong. He has fought so many battles. But Krishna said in one statement that the strength in the strong belongs to me. This itself should have unsettled Arjuna a little bit. He should have been shaken. Okay, let Krishna claim everything else. But gradually he is coming to me also. All other things fine. But I am strong person. He says my strength is him. So for a beginner who wants to take credit for all his powers, he will have difficulty. So that is why Krishna wants to gradually take everything. First he tries to remove the mamakara. And ultimately the very ahankara is destroyed. The height will be actually in the 10th chapter, the Vibhuti Yoga, where the whole chapter is only the Vibhuti, the glory of the Lord, saying that no human being has got any Vibhuti at all. In fact, there is no human being at all. That's what the Lord is going to say then. That is the development. So in this shloka, Krishna makes a statement, Ye sattvikaha rajasaha tamasascha bhava. Whatever being is there in the world, whether they are sattvic, indicating the predominance of sattva guna, so sattva pradana bhavaha, so rajasaha, rajat pradana, so people who have got the rajoguna predominantly, and tamoguna, tamasaha. For example, the devas are supposed to be sattva pradana, and manushyas are supposed to be raja pradana, and the rakshasas, asuras, they are on the low, and the lower animals supposed to be the tama pradana. So among human beings themselves, we have got sattva guna, rajo guna, tamo guna, people who are predominantly either one of them. So remember, every inanimate object also can come under this tama pradana alone, any inanimate object also. In short, the whole characharam, jagat, comes under sattva, rajas, tamas alone. Actually, the srishti topic in Tattva Bodha, we discussed this in detail at that time. So, from devas onwards, up to inanimate objects, all of them mattaha eva. ఆర్ బాండ్ అవుట్ ఆఫ్ మీ అలోన్. ఇతి విద్ధి అర్జున, యూ మేక్ ఎ నోట్ ఆఫ్ ఇట్, అండర్స్టాండ్ ఇట్ దిస్ వే. యూ షుడ్ అండర్లైన్ దిస్, రిమెంబర్ దిస్ ఆల్ త్రూ యువర్ లైఫ్. బేస్డ్ ఆన్ దిస్ పాయింట్ అలోన్ అవర్ హోల్ కల్చర్ అండ్ లైఫ్ స్టైల్ ఆర్ ప్రిస్క్రైబ్డ్. ఇఫ్ ఇట్ ఈస్ అన్ ఆర్ట్, ఇట్ ఈస్ అగైన్ డెడికేటెడ్ టు ద లార్డ్. నో డాన్సర్ విల్ స్ట్రైట్ అవే బిగిన్ ద డాన్స్. దర్ విల్ బీ ద లార్డ్ ఆఫ్ డాన్స్, నటరాజాస్ విగ్రహ ఆర్ సంథింగ్ పిక్చర్ విల్ బీ కెప్ట్. ఫస్ట్ జాబ్ ఇస్ టు ఆఫర్ ఫ్లవర్స్ టు దట్ లార్డ్, ఇండికేటింగ్ దట్ దిస్ పవర్ ఆఫ్ డాన్స్ ఈస్ ద పవర్ ఆఫ్ లార్డ్ అలోన్. దస్ వీ డూ నాట్ హ్యావ్ ఎస్ ఆ స్వామి దయానంద సరస్వతి వెరీ బ్యూటిఫుల్లీ సేస్ ది డిఫరెన్సియేషన్ ఆఫ్ సెక్యులర్ సైన్స్ అండ్ స్పిరిచువల్ సైన్స్. వీ డోంట్ హ్యావ్ ఎనీ సచ్ డిఫరెన్షియేషన్ అట్ ఆల్. దట్ ఈస్ ఆల్ ఇన్ వెస్టర్న్ కల్చర్స్ ఓన్లీ. ఇన్ అవర్ కల్చర్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్ ఈజ్ స్పిరిచువల్ ఓన్లీ, ఎవ్రీథింగ్ ఈజ్ రిలీజియస్ ఓన్లీ. దర్ ఇస్ నో మెటీరియల్ సైన్స్ బికాస్ దర్ ఇస్ నో మ్యాటర్ అవే ఫ్రమ్ స్పిరిట్ ఇన్ అవర్ ట్రెడిషన్. వెదర్ ఇట్ ఈస్ ఆర్ట్, సైన్స్ ఆర్ ఈవెన్ ద బస్ డ్రైవర్ ఆర్ అ రిక్షా డ్రైవర్, వెన్ హీ టేక్స్ అప్ ద బస్ ఆర్ అ టాక్సీ ఆర్ రిక్షా, హీ టచెస్ ద స్టీరింగ్ అండ్ ద హార్ట్ ఆల్ ద టైమ్. హీ డస్ నాట్ నో వెదర్ హీ విల్ రిటర్న్ బ్యాక్ లైఫ్ అండ్ అలైవ్ దట్ డే ఆర్ నాట్. హీ ఆల్వేస్ థింక్స్ ఆఫ్ ద లార్డ్. ఈవెన్ దాట్ పవర్ ఇస్ ద లార్డ్స్ పవర్ ఓన్లీ. ఈవెన్ ద ఫిషర్మన్ పీపుల్ హూ గో టు ఫిషింగ్, బిఫోర్ గోయింగ్ టు ద ఓషన్ దే వర్షిప్, ఇండికేటింగ్ దట్ ఈస్ ఆల్సో ద గ్లోరీ ఆఫ్ ద లార్డ్ అలోన్. సో ద హోల్ కల్చర్ ఈస్ బేస్డ్ ఆన్ దిస్ ఐడియా అలోన్. దట్ ఈస్ వై కృష్ణ ఈస్ ఆఫన్ యూసింగ్ ద వర్డ్ ఉపధారయ, విద్ధి, ఆల్ దోస్ వర్డ్స్ హీ సెలెక్టివ్లీ చూసెస్, మీనింగ్ రిమెంబర్ దిస్ అలోన్ ఆల్ ది టైమ్. ఓకే, దెన్ వాట్ ఈస్ ద రిలేషన్షిప్ బిట్వీన్ ద లార్డ్ అండ్ ద వర్ల్డ్? అండ్ కృష్ణ సేస్, అహం తేషు న అస్మి, ఐ ఎమ్ నాట్ డిపెండెంట్ ఆన్ దెమ్, ఐ హ్యావ్ నో డిపెండెన్సీ ఆన్ ద వర్ల్డ్. తేషు మీన్స్ తత్వశ తత్ అధీన, ఐ ఎమ్ నాట్ డిపెండెంట్ ఆన్ ద వర్ల్డ్. వెరాస్ తే మయి సంతి, దే ఆర్ డిపెండెంట్ ఆన్ మీ. తే మత్ అధీన సంతి, అహం తత్ అధీన న అస్మి. ఇన్ షార్ట్ ది ఐడియా ఇస్ వాట్, ఐ ఆమ్ ఇండిపెండెంట్లీ ఎగ్జిస్టెంట్, వెరాస్ దే ఆర్ డిపెండెంట్లీ ఎగ్జిస్టెంట్. అండ్ సో ఐ ఆమ్ సత్యం, దే ఆర్ ఆల్ మిథ్య. ఆన్ వాట్ బేసిస్ కృష్ణ అసర్ట్స్ దిస్? ద రీజన్ ఇస్ వాట్? కారణత్వాత్. As was discussed earlier, Ishvara is independently existent because he is the karanam, he is the cause. World is dependently existent because world is karyam, the effect. So jagat is mithya karanat karyatvat, and like ghatavat, ghatavat means the part, and Ishvara is satyam, satyaha because karanatvat mridvat, mridvat means like clay. So being the karanam, Ishvara is satyam. అండ్ జగత్ బీయింగ్ కార్యం ఇస్ మిథ్య. సో నత్వహం తేషు తే మయి, ఐ ఎమ్ నాట్ డిపెండెంట్ ఆన్ దెమ్, ఆన్ ది అదర్ హ్యాండ్ దే ఆర్ ఆల్ డిపెండెంట్ ఆన్ మీ. సో దిస్ ఈస్ హౌ కృష్ణ డీల్స్ విత్ దిస్ టాపిక్, అండ్ వీ విల్ కంటిన్యూ విత్ ది నెక్స్ట్ శ్లోక ఇన్ ది నెక్స్ట్ వెబినార్. యో వేదాదౌ స్వర ప్రోక్తో వేదాంతే చ ప్రతిష్ఠితః తస్య ప్రకృతి లీనస్య యః పరః స మహేశ్వరః. శ్రీకృష్ణార్పణమస్తు.